Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So you're confessing that he is Lord, that he is God, that you are his servant, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead.
That is salvation. It's about believing that Jesus died for our sins, took our punishment, and rose from that grave. Salvation is available to all. You simply have to call out on the name of Jesus, confessing that you need him as Savior. If you have questions about salvation, we're studying one of the foremost passages on salvation out of Romans 10, verses 5 through 13. Here comes Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
The Word of God is right here with us. Paul told the Athenians, people that lived in Athens, in Acts 17, God made of all the world out from two people, he said. And God has put you in times and places that you would grope for God and find him, for he is not far from any of us. No matter where you are, no matter where you find yourself, you can call on the name of the Lord and he is right there with you. He'll hear those words and he will respond to those words. In Romans 10:8, he says, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. So now you know that he's quoting from the book of Deuteronomy when he writes this. And see, Paul's writings are like this. Paul is he's a Pharisee, he's a theologian from his day. And he just fills his messages with quoting Old Testament passages. I love to fill my messages with scriptures that the word of God could be heard. Paul just quotes them as he's making his way through. Romans 10:8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. This is that salvation is near to any of us who would like to call out upon him today. There's nowhere you've got to go. There's no mountain that you've got to climb. You can simply say to him, come into my life today. And then Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So you're confessing that he is Lord, that he is God, that you are his servant. And you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Now you say, well, it's impossible that someone would be raised from the dead, and I've got to believe that someone would be raised from the dead. The answer to that is yes. The world didn't get here by itself. Joe Rogan here recently, and I don't know where Joe Rogan is at in his Christianity. Wesley Huff had just said that he's going to church. Somebody said more than that about Joe Rogan. I don't know about that. But here's what I did hear a clip of Joe Rogan saying. There are atheists that tell me that every bit of matter in the universe came from a pinprick. And there are Christians who tell me that Jesus rose from the dead, and I'm going to go with Jesus rising from the dead. That's a pretty amazing statement. You're going to have to believe the miraculous one way or another. And that God would raise someone from the dead, that's impossible to happen, as a down payment for you and me, that we would know that we will live when we die. And the days in which we're living in are so amazing because of near-death experiences. And I've shared some of this with you before, but people, when they die and they're brought back, were out of their body for a while. They were experiencing it from a different perspective, and they could see without their eyes. In the spiritual realm, they could see, and they give these accounts, and it is pretty amazing. Now, the word confession means to give public acknowledgement or allegiance to. That's what the word in the Greek means. So if you confess with your mouth, so it is a public acknowledgement and allegiance to Christ. That's why I say you need to make a pub. You need to tell people I'm a Christian. You want to be a seeker Christian. There were seeker Christians in the New Testament. Nicodemus was a seeker Christian. Joseph Arimathea was a seeker Christian because they were part of the council that voted to put Jesus to death But there came a point where they had to give their allegiance to Christ. And they spoke of that allegiance being to him. Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Martin Luther said, "The law says do this, and it is never done. Grace says believe in this, and everything is already done." So the law says do this, and I have to go out and do something, but I can't do it all. But the faith says it's already been done for you. And all that you have to do is truly to trust in him and believe in him. So Romans 10:11 says, "For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." Again, Paul is quoting the Old Testament. He knows that the false teachers are getting the hearts and minds of the Jews who are in Rome by quoting Old Testament passages. And so as he's writing this letter to them, letting them know that we are saved the same way, whether Jew or Gentile, he's filling it full of Old Testament passages that they would know, so that they would know that this is true. Paul wants them to be like the Bereans. You guys remember the Bereans? So Paul goes to Macedonia. He goes to Philippi, first of all, and there's a church that started there with Lydia, that the maker of purple down by the river. He then goes from there to Thessalonica, and he begins a church in Thessalonica. He's only in Thessalonica for a little while, which is why the letters of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians are so basic, and they're really powerful for basic Christian truth, because he was only there for a short time. Then he went to Berea, and he was only there for a short time as well, but he says that the Jews in Berea were more fair-minded because they received the word of God with joy and then searched the scriptures to see whether or not these things were true. Oftentimes people leave out that they were Jews. They had heard and knew the Old Testament and what it said. So they had read it and they had believed in it. But you and I need to be Bereans as well in the day that we live in, because we're living in the day when men are not enduring sound doctrine. We're living in those times. So we need to be like those Bereans, that we would search the scriptures to find out whether or not these things are true. So the insight we learn from this, he's quoting Isaiah 26:18. Also, it's used in Romans 9:33. In Isaiah 28:16, it says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily." So the Lord speaks through Isaiah that there is a cornerstone that is a foundation stone. And if you believe in that foundation stone, then you won't act hastily. Now, what did we learn earlier in the book of Romans? Remember in the end of Romans 9? Here we are in the middle of Romans 10. What does he say in Romans 9? That the Jews who sought righteousness by the law didn't find it. Why? Because they didn't believe, because they stumbled at the stumbling stone. So Isaiah says there's going to be a cornerstone that will be a foundation, but they stumbled over the very cornerstone that was a foundation. When you begin to link it to the Old Testament, it begins to bring new color into what's being said, that much more is being said than we think. So in Romans 9:33, he brings it up as well. As it is written, this is the part I just quoted, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone, a rock of offense, but whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." So if you trust in Christ, you will never be put to shame. Romans 10:12 says, "For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him." So you don't have to become Jewish in order to be saved. That's what the Judaizers were teaching in their day. That's what, as I said, the Torah teaching churches in Tucson are not monolithic. They don't all teach the same thing. But they all have in common that you've got to keep certain Jewish things in order to be saved. They all have that in common. He's gracious towards Jew and Gentile. And not every Jew is saved. We learn that in Romans 9. The Bible says not all of Israel are of Israel. And that is so misquoted. I had somebody misquote that in one of our comments on our YouTube channel. They were defending the idea that God had rejected Israel. Then they just quote quickly, not all Israel are who are Israel. But that's not the context of that. The context isn't that God's going to take Israel's promises away from Israel. The Bible never says anything like that. It's simply saying not everyone who was born a Jew is truly a believer. So there were, in the Old Testament, men who were Jewish who rejected God and weren't believers. And there were men who were. Not all Israel are Israel. And you understand this. I used this as an example when we talked about it in Romans 9. Not all Christians are Christians. And we understand that. Because there's people who say they're Christians, but they're not. Well, these people just happen to be born Jewish. And so they believe that because they were born Jewish, that they were okay. It'd be like if you're born into a Christian family and you think you're okay because you're born into a Christian family, but you've never confessed your own faith. You've never said, I believe in him. I trust in him. It doesn't matter. You have to believe for yourself. This is a radical statement of salvation, that it's a universal scope in Romans 12:10. For there is no distinction between Jew or Gentile, for the same Lord over all and is rich to all who call upon his name. That's an inclusive statement. Anybody that calls upon his name can be saved. So in Romans 3:23, this is quite a while ago, so I'll read it to you, because several months ago that we studied this, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Again, inclusive. There is no difference, he says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We often quote the last part of that verse, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but the section before that, for there is no difference. There's no difference between any of us. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. And God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So then finally in Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Which again is a quote standing on that foundation rock. Whoever believes in him should do it in haste. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's like the thief on the cross. You call out to him. He doesn't give us a formula. I have a prayer that I pray at every service when I'm inviting people to Christ, and I've done it for, I've probably done this same prayer for 30 years. I had a prayer before that I used. And then I added, changed it a little bit, just because I wanted to be inclusive to certain things that I have in the prayer. Every part of the prayer that I pray is well thought out. But you realize that that's not like the only prayer that can save you. That you don't have to have every piece of the prayer. That you can be like the thief on the cross. Lord, remember me when you come into the kingdom. Wasn't much there. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Lord, I want to know you. When I returned to the Lord, when I came to Christ at 14, the youth pastor who led me to the Lord, he had asked me if I was going to heaven. I said, yes. He said, why? I said, because I believe in God. And what I meant by that was I believe God existed. And he said, well, does Satan believe in God? And I said, no. He said, yes, Satan believes in God. He knows he's existed. And he said, Satan going to heaven? No. Then it takes more than just believing, doesn't it? And I said, yeah, it does. And he said, would you like to receive Christ? Would you like to invite him in? Would you like to pray with me to receive him? And I prayed a prayer somewhat like the prayer that I lead you guys in at the end of services. At 18 years old, I walked away. The pastor of the church that I attended had an affair with the secretary. I was devastated by that. I called a friend of mine who had been a mentor who was going to Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And his wife answered the phone and said, you haven't heard, he left me. Bill left me for another woman. Now, I'm 18 years old at this point, and I said, I'm done then. If this is what Christianity is, I'm done. But what I wasn't sharing with anybody at that time, because my Christian friends came to me like good Christian friends should. I walked away from the Lord. You should go and out. We'll come back. What are you doing? So they came to me. And when they came to me, I would say, I was brutal. I was like, don't you tell me that. My pastor had an affair with the secretary. Bill had an affair with someone. If this is what Christianity is about, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Pretty soon my friends were like, I'll stay away from that. We'll just kind of let him go, you know. But what was happening inside of me was I got saved when I was 14. So here I am 18. I see this happen in the church, and there is an offense there. But I'm also wondering, does the world have anything to offer me? I'm wondering, is there anything out there for me? So I walked away for a year. And I learned that there's nothing in the world out there for me. And the truth that Jesus said, I will leave the 99 and go after the one, it's just so true, he came after me. At 18 years old, not only did I just turn 18, but I received money from my father's death. So my dad died when I was 14, right after I'd become a Christian. And all of a sudden, I received a significant amount of money, which probably shouldn't have been given to an 18-year-old. Because I went out and financed a Jeep. I bought a motorcycle. I already had a 68 Camaro. So here I am, 18 years old. I got all of these things. But you know what God did over that whole year? The motorcycle got stolen. The Jeep got burned up. I was four-wheeling at Elephant Butte Lake. And I had put a carburetor on it that had the wrong floats. It flooded the motor and burned up the whole thing. I stood by the beach and watched the whole thing go up in smoke. And like an 18-year-old, I didn't have insurance on it. Right? So I paid for it. I ended up paying for that Jeep, which burned up, that couldn't be repaired. The 68 Camaro, I didn't even remember what happened to that. It ended up getting traded for some little Nissan or something that I drove around for a while just because I needed a car that got better gas mileage. And then my girlfriend broke up with me. And the night my girlfriend broke up with me, she breaks up with me at her house, and I can't drive because I've lost my driver's license because there's so many tickets because of the, I even took my driver's license away from me. I had gotten so many tickets. And she says to me after she breaks up with me, just take my car, I'll pick it up tomorrow, and God, I don't want to see you anymore. So I go get in our car and I'm driving, and now I'm driving down the freeway, and we have a station in Albuquerque called K-Light. It's a Christian rock station. And I turn over to that Christian rock station, and there's a song by Chuck Gerard, Elisa Childers' dad, of all things, Chuck Gerard, who sings a song, Little Pilgrim. And here's what the song said. Little pilgrim going down the road of life, you take a little turn to the left to see what that's got to offer you, but you've got to make it back to the main road anyhow. And you've got a lot of lost time to make up for. And it's a sad thing when you realize you're all alone again. And then the last line of the song, I don't have to tell you that I was crying by the time I heard that song. The last line of the song, Chuck Gerard says, it's a glad thing when you realize you found your way back home again. So I went home and I got ready for bed and I laid down on my mom's trailer. There's little buttons up at the top of the trailer. You guys remember them? I don't know if they're still there or not anymore. There are little buttons. I remember staring up at one of those little buttons, and this is the prayer I prayed. I'm done. No longer what I want, but whatever you want. And God radically changed my life. God brought me to a powerful church. God began to do a work again. He put a fire inside of me again to be used by him. Even when I walked away, God faithfully came after me. He came after me by taking everything away from me, literally taking it all away from me. But you know what? I have that almost as an evidence in my life of God. It's like that he came after me, that he took everything away from me. Had he not done that, I wouldn't have come back to him. But he came after me and he took it away, and that's all you need to do. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. Lord, I'm done. No longer what I want, but whatever you want. That's enough. Lord, I give my life to you. It may not be here at church. Maybe you're resistant to it still today. But maybe later, God will get your attention because God's good at that. And you'll say, you said anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, I'm calling on the name of the Lord. And I want to be saved. But don't let tonight pass. Tonight could be the night that you make things right with him. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that we can take a look at this amazing passage which quotes so much of the Old Testament, which talks about how we are saved and that it's for everyone, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord. And thank you that you have faithfully listened to us when we've asked you to come into our lives. And Lord, I pray for those that may be at a distance from you now. Maybe they're like me, they walked away for whatever reason, but they need to come back. Maybe Maybe it's the first time. Maybe they thought they were a Christian, but they realize now that it's much different than just believing that God exists or having parents who are Christian or going to a church once in a while, but it's actually living for you. And I pray that you touch their heart, that they would make a commitment to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. But if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. If you've never said, Lord, I want to live for you, the Bible says no one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws them. So if you're even interested in coming to Christ, it's because God's drawing you. And God's got a plan for your life. God's got a purpose for you. There are things for you to do. The Bible not only says that we're saved by the grace of God and through our faith, but that you are God's workmanship. You're a work of art, is really literally what it means. Created for good works. If you want to give your life to Christ today, you're done living for yourself, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple but bold. Just raise your hand. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. You know God's calling you today. It would be the time to respond. God bless you, sir, right here in the middle. And God bless you back by the window as well. That's awesome. That's great. All right, you put your hands down, and I would like everyone, including those who raised your hand, and if I saw your hand, I saw a hand go down. If I missed your hand, know that God saw your hand, and that's what's important. But I'd like everyone to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you as a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. How exciting. The Bible says that God's going to give you a new heart, that'll give you a new mind that's transformed by the word of God. The Bible talks about how God will change you. It says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away and everything becomes new. I can attest that both times that I made a commitment to Christ, he changed me and he made radical changes in my life. And I believe he's going to do the same for you. We want to see you really drawing and walking close to Christ.
Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow is a ministry of Calvary Tucson. We hope this Bible study helps you to live a life that brings glory to God and draws others to Him. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not be possible without the support and generosity of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us financially and help spread the life-saving message of the gospel, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday at 8:45 and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday at 6 p.m. and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio. 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, and streaming at reach.radio. Or visit our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life, or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey to Jesus. Text Ready for Jesus to 94,000. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
If you are listening locally in the Tucson area and you have a school-aged child, we'd love for you to come find out more about Calvary Christian School, where we love God, love people, and love out loud. At CCS, teachers disciple students to become more like Jesus, arming them with a biblical worldview grounded in God's Word. Calvary Christian School is duly accredited, and our teachers and staff are focused on ministering to the heart of each and every student while challenging them both academically and spiritually. And thanks to scholarships provided by the state of Arizona, most students attend for little to no cost. For more information on our K-12 classes or to schedule a tour, look us up online at Calvary Christian School Tucson.